Aurora, He-Man's twin sister and defender of the Crystal Castle. This is Spirit, my beloved steed. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, "For the honor of Grayskull!" A few others share this secret. Among them are Light Hope, Madam Raz, and Cowl. Together, we and my friends of the Great Rebellion strive to free Etheria from the evil forces of Horda!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 79th. Chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Take two.
Once again, take two. As you heard with our last episode, and this episode, we lost to the Netherworld, so we had to record twice. So, hey, that just shows you, this shows you the dedication we have to put something out there for each and every episode of She-Ra for the fans of the Masters of the Universe. We leave no stone unturned.
What's a stern? I don't know what a stern is.
We leave no stern untoned.
Leave that aft alone.
Yes. But are you ready?
Oh, crap. You did not just do that.
But are you ready, man? We only have four episodes left.
So before we go too far into this,
I'm not going too far into anything.
Yeah, before we go too far into it,
just the right amount.
Yeah, huh? Well, I noticed because I'm working nonstop as we're recording this to get all this stuff done before I go on California Christmas vacation, and I wish. I will listen to it eventually, but thank God for David Baruffy, who puts out the results of the top 100 in the comments. So I actually saw some of the characters, and what I've noticed is you guys are up to what, the top 25 at this point. We put out episode 3, which is 50 to 26. So far, She-Ra did not make the list.
No, you're not paying attention then.
Oh, huh?
She made the first episode.
Oh.
Yeah, She-Ra was in the 100 to 76 portion.
Ew.
Imagine that. So we've had a number of Masters of the Universe characters show up. So She-Ra and Skeletor.
Really?
So
Skeletor showed up. Oh my! If Hordak shows up, that countdown is completely nullified to me. That no.
How do you really feel?
Hordak above Skeletor? That would be so wrong.
Skeletor
won the Wars Tournament, damn it.
But to give you the exact numbers of where they fell, She-Ra, let's see, Skeletor fell at number 80. So Skeletor was the 80th out of the 100. And She-Ra was number, ready for it? 100.
Wow.
That's how we started the countdown, was with She-Ra. So...
And here
she
I was
did
thinking,
make the countdown.
Here I was thinking it would have started with like Stewie or Brian or some stupid family.
Nope, She-Ra. She-Ra was number one. She tied with one other character.
What was so the other character she tied with?
You got to listen to the episode to find out.
No,
so,
what was the
She-Ra at number 100 and Skeletor at number 80. So two Filmation appearances happened in our first episode of the countdown. So if you're interested to hear, go check out the website and there's a lot of episodes. We come down 100. Animated characters, and you can weigh in on it. You can, if it's not about the rankings, it's not about who's there really, it's about the discussion of these characters. So if you want to hear some good banter about animated characters, definitely check those episodes out and let us know what you thought about it so we can help form our next adventure when we try to do more top 50s and top 100s. But not to get too far sidetracked, back to the idea that we only have four episodes left, Mike. Four.
Thank God.
And that's the approach that we're going with here. All right. So in this episode of Mists of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 90, Shades of Orko. Interesting title for a She-Ra episode. And episode 91, Assault on the Hive.
Somebody
so we
grab
hope
the
you're
pepper.
Ready. You already made that joke, so we hope you're ready.
I'm gonna make that joke every time you say
it. It's time to go back to Etheria.
It's time.
We're going back to Etheria, damn it.
No, we're not. We're going back to Eternia, damn it.
And that too. We're going to both places. We'll be back.
I call you to do my bidding.
I'd love to see the looks on those rebels' faces when Shadow Weaver's little beasties attack again so soon.
Come, my little shadow beasties.
Easy, Lord. What is it?
It's Shadow Weaver. She sent her shadow beasties to attack Thamor again.
She-Ra, what'll we do? We haven't enough rebels to turn back a shadow beastie attack.
We'll go to Thamor and do our best. That's what we'll do. Man-at-Arms, Orko, what are you doing here?
Hello, She-Ra. Remember those electric force shields you asked for? Well, I decided to deliver them in person.
And I came just to say hi.
Well, you couldn't have come at a better time.
All right, we start today with episode 90. Yes, that's right, a milestone, because there's only 93 episodes in the series. So we made it to episode 90, Shades of Orko, air date Saturday, November 21st, 1987. That means this aired 2 days before I turned six. 2 days before I turned six.
I was already seven at the time.
Oh, aren't you special?
I know, right?
Written by J. Larry Carroll. No, you're just older. And at this point, that's not a good thing in our lives. The rebels thwart a Shadow Beastie's attack thanks to Man-at-Arms' new electric force shield. Angry, Shadow Weaver steals Orko's shadow and takes it to Horror Hall, where it promptly escapes and runs free, and hijinks ensue. So we have Shadow Weaver. Get ready for this, guys, because we have some Horde members today. Dilamug, Grizzlor, Mantenna, Leech, and Ratlor. Members of the Rebellion, She-Ra, Man-at-Arms, Orko. Let's give Orko Shadow our credit, too. Glimmer, Bow, Light Hope. So we got a plethora of Rebellion and Horde members. Mike, what did you think about Shadow Weaver stealing Orko's shadow?
People can't see this because it's audio, but I'm so totally flipping you off from earlier.
I don't remember which thing, but there's been many I've said it through the course of things. So.
Yes. No, I love this. I think this is great. I think this is very interesting. Having Orko and Shadow Weaver be kind of the two main, I don't want to say attractions of the episode, but they kind of almost are. I mean, hell, Orko even has his name in lights. You know, with the title, which is interesting. And I really, really enjoyed this one. I thought this was great. A great episode, a very well-executed plot, very well-written plot. There are probably a couple of things that are nitpicky-ish, but other than that, I really did enjoy it. What about you?
I like the idea of this. I like that we have this situation where Orko and Shadow Weaver are kind of put against each other. I like any excuse for a crossover. Not because all the crossovers are good, just because it at least has the potential to be good, it seems like. You know, like, if I'm going to roll my dice, I'm going to roll my dice on the table that involves crossovers, because I have a better chance of winning on that table. So I like that, and I like the fact that we're doing a kind of a unique crossover here where based on the characters involved, which we'll get more into in a little bit. So I am a fan. This is not one that it necessarily has to rely on execution. This is one that I'm a big fan of just going into it, so it just doesn't have to, as long as it doesn't fall on its face and suck, it's probably an episode that I'm going to enjoy based on the plot itself.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So, all right, let's take a quick break here. No, we're not.
We're not taking a break.
We don't want to take breaks.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
Bah! Orko and Manadons! Bah! What meddlers! I'll teach them to come to Etheria and interfere with my schemes!
Sounds like trouble to me.
You got that right! Big trouble!
What are you just doing?
Shira, Man-at-Arms! How can we ever thank you for saving us from those awful shadow beasties?
That's right. We could never have beaten them without your help.
Well, I assure you no thanks are necessary. We Eternians are proud to help the Great Rebellion whenever and however we can.
You said it. Why, those horde meanies just make me so mad I could...
It's the Horde Witch!
Horde
Witch!
Let's get out of here! Run!
What do you want here, Shadow Weaver?
I just came to tell you and your friends. Those silly force shields will do you no good. Do you really think your puny inventions could ever defeat me?
Yes, I do. Now, why don't you just leave?
Yes, Shadow Weaver, take off, or do I have to get tough? Why, you miserable excuse for a wizard. I've half a mind to...
Yeah, and that's all you've got. Half a mind.
Oh, you little bozo.
Oh, come on, Shadow Weaver. Make my day.
Oh, you little pest. I'll teach you to mock me.
For the last time, Shadow Weaver, leave. And I mean now.
I'll leave, Shira, but not empty-handed.
Oh, no. Shadow Weaver stole my shadow.
Shadow Weaver, give it back.
But you told me to leave.
We're not
Let's get right into Whispering Wood moments.
I was going to say, we're not a Kit Kat bar, folks.
Let's get right into the Whispering Woods moments. I'll let you go first because I have a lot.
I have four, but I love them all. The first one is just kind of obvious. Man, I love this episode. It's a Peter Pan-ish kind of thing because the whole shadow play. Because, you know, if you go back and you look at the Disney version of Peter Pan, he was trying to catch his shadow. That's why he was in Wendy's bedroom. Well, that's new. Instead of going directly to the Crystal Castle, she summons Light, Hope, and the Jewel of the Sword. That was interesting. I thought that was really well done. So, Orko and Weaver's shadows give them their magic. I wish more would have been told about this. I wish there was... Instead of just throwing this into one episode, I wish that, like, they've ever said about Orko is that he's from Tralla, he is a Trollin, and on Tralla, the Trollin magic works best. But on other planets, it works completely whacked out and crazy, and as we've already seen in the 130 episodes of He-Man that we've talked about, you know, Orko's magic on Eternia is more for, you know, a court jester than a great magician. And now, come to find out, we get to She-Ra and we get to J. Larry Carroll writing this episode that apparently Orko and Shadow Weaver both get their magic from their shadows. More, please. Thank you. What about you?
Man-at-Arms and Orko. No He-Man. So, yeah. You know, interesting. I like that a lot, that's the way we're going with this crossover. We also get a return of Dialamug. I didn't think we were ever going to see him again. And I swear his voice is a little different this time, but I could be wrong. But I liked it better if it was different. If not, I'm just having a bad memory. But Orko talking crap to Shadow Weaver was awesome. He kind of was a smart ass, and I liked it. How about this one? Shadow Weaver earns her name, actually steals a shadow. So about time. Horror Hall. not shown enough in this series. I guess if it was shown a lot, maybe it wouldn't have as much of an effect. But I do like that we get to see Horror Hall in this episode. Every time we kind of shift setting, it's nice.
Well, isn't Horror Hall inside the Fright Zone, or is it a completely different area?
It might be in the Fright Zone, but it's not the same. It's not the same structure.
So it's not the same as Horror. Okay, see, I thought. Okay, when they generally, when you see the opening of an episode and it opens up on the Fright Zone and you see the outside of Hordak's little castle there, and then you see the inside. Like, I thought the Horror Hall part was just a hallway upstairs in Hordak's
castle. Maybe it is, but I always got the view. I always got the opinion that it was a different, completely place. Yeah. A different place completely.
Yeah,
excuse me.
That's fine.
I can't talk. Great collection of Horde members in this one. I think they should use this collection more often because I really like the dynamic between Leech, Ratlore, and Grizzlore, Dialamug, like Mantenna. It all worked together well. So I like that it wasn't just Scorpia and Catra, etc.
We haven't seen Scorpia, and I don't think we will see Scorpia ever again. I don't even remember what her last episode was.
And I'm not really sure what happened to her. And then it's just plain Weaver.
Yep.
Because she loses her shadow too. Mm-hmm. So a lot of good parts about this episode. What about anything nitpick bad moments that you picked up on?
How the fuck do they all know the words for the Honor of Grayskull? Like, seriously?
You tell me?
No. Bo and Glimmer specifically, they do not know the secret. They do not know that Adora is She-Ra and vice versa. I can see Cowl, Madame Raz, and Broom. I can see them knowing the by the power for the honor, whatever the hell. But Bo and Glimmer should not have known the words to the thing that gives the power sword its power. That is just wrong.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
How about the most minor nitpick of all nitpicks for me? Okay. She-Ra, go see a specialist because your hands are disgusting.
Your hands
are gross as shit.
I remember that from take one.
There's a screenshot I have. I've captured it. Your hands are disgusting. It's a combination of somebody old, man hands. I don't know, but your hands are gross as hell. So go see somebody because I don't want my superhero princess of power to have gross looking freaking hands. So the final PSA here was about not stealing. It's always wrong, no matter what. So all right, what about hardware for you today? We didn't use every Horde Bat and Protection Sword we had in our trophy cases yet. We only have 4 episodes left. We still have a few to give out. What would you like to give out today?
This is one thing I've started doing, and you know this for the past, pretty much the whole of the She-Ra series at this point, is I break the mold when it comes to my awards. I've been doing this since the very beginning, and I'm going to give a Horde Bat to whomever painted She-Ra's nails or tried to get them to not look like man hands.
She had man hands.
Man hands?
The hands of a man.
Like, seriously, that animator dude or dudette, you need to work on that crap. So basically, She-Ra's hands get a horn bat. Protection swords for She-Ra, Orko, and Orko Shadow. Because Orko and Orko Shadow specifically, because Orko has always, everyone is like, oh my god, it's Orko. He's the most annoying character in the entire franchise. No. There's no way. There's no way Orko is the most annoying. We have had children in the He-Man cartoon that were more annoying than Orko. And then Orko Shadow is just awesome. Yeah. It's just absolutely awesome. I thought that was so fun.
I like it a lot. It's kind of a classic storyline where the bad guy captures somebody good and then like gives it back. I can't deal with this. You guys watch this guy. I like that storyline. And where you just are that much annoying or that much full of energy or whatever, where eventually the person's like, I can't do this. I agree. Orko Shadow gets a protection sword for me as well. That was the highlight of the episode as far as character-wise. Horde Bat, I didn't mention this before in Fright Zone, but I'm going to give a Horde Bat to Man-at-Arms. And,
hey! Yeah,
because I'm glad that Man-at-Arms shows up, but there's a scene where Bo gets frozen by a freeze ray from Mantenna. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Man-at-Arms literally walks right into Mantenna's second freeze ray.
Yeah.
Like, you just watched this dude get frozen. Now you're walking up unarmed or without any weapons or shields or anything up, and you just walk straight into another freeze ray. Like, Men-at-Arms, are you that out of practice? It's been a while since you fought. What's going on? I know we haven't seen you in a while. You have apparently been hibernating. So you get a horde bet for being dumb.
Yes.
What about a Crystal Castle rating for you for today? I know we were down on the last two episodes last week. We were middle of the road, two and a half. You gave a zero. Are we going to start on the same note here?
Oh, no. 4.5 easily.
4.5. That's got to be one of the highest ratings you've given. since there's only one other higher rating that you can give from that. But we haven't given out a lot of fives or a lot of 4.5. So that might be in the running for one of your top episodes of the series. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be just barely underneath that. I don't know why, but I'm giving this one a 4 instead of a 4.5. Four. It's a good episode. It's above average. It's fun. It's a great crossover. And a couple things that maybe didn't wow me as much as maybe I would have hoped. But still one of the more easily recommendable episodes of the series. So 4 from me, 4.5 from you. We're starting today much better than we started last time. Let's hope it can continue for 3 more episodes straight, but we'll have to wait to find out till after the break.
I wish your people well, sweet bee. May your search for a new home be successful.
Thank you, She-Ra. I cannot tell you how much my people and I appreciate what you did for us. We are a peaceful people. Not used to evil. As you remember, when I first came to your planet, I thought it was perfect. The planet turned out to be ruled by the monstrous evil horde. If it were not for the help of you, She-Ra, and your brother, He-Man. I never would have escaped in time to warn my people away from the evil horde planet. We will not forget you, She-Ra. No matter where in the universe we settle.
And I will not forget you, sweet bee. I'm sorry your people could not stay.
The rebellion could always use more people.
No, my people are not fighters. We must look elsewhere. Well, farewell, She-Ra.
Farewell, sweet bee. But remember, sometimes it is necessary to fight to keep your freedom.
I know, She-Ra. I hope it will never come to that. Goodbye.
There is the answer to my evil needs.
What is it, Skeletor?
It's a giant spacecraft, Tin Head, and it's filled with thousands of bee people. If I could capture this spacecraft and enslave all the bee people, I would have an army large enough to take on Horde Prime himself. And if I can conquer Horde Prime, the universe shall be mine! Raptor! Beastman!
Yes, awesome Skeletor!
Both of you shall accompany me on my invasion of this hive ship! Get the sleep gas devices, Beastman! And Raptor! Make sure your stun ray is fully charged! We don't want to hurt anyone, but we will have a lot of bee people to convince!
Danger! Danger!
Invaders! Invaders on board!
Invaders! Invaders on board!
No one must be hurt. After all, they're going to be joining my army soon.
Next up is episode 91, last one for today. We're assaulting the hive. Air date Saturday, December 13th, 1986. Written by Bob Forward. Skeletor, that's right, Skeletor attacks the spacecraft carrying Sweet Bee's hive in order to turn the bee people into his slave army. She-Ra calls on He-Man for help. During the space battle, they meet new allies such as Crystal Sundancer and Comet Cat. We have Skeletor, Beastman, Catra, and Trapjaw. We have She-Ra, Natasa, He-Man, Cringer, Sweet Bee, Swift Wind, as well as Drone 7, Comet Cat, Crystal Sundancer, and a few random bee people. So what do you think of our second straight crossover episode?
I like it. It's interesting.
What do you think of the idea that we're starting with Skeletor? He's seeing something. He's getting involved. And then we see the crossover with, obviously, He-Man also getting involved. But no Hordak, just all Skeletor this time.
It's better than the comedy stylings of Hordak, because like I've said the last three or four podcasts, Hordak is basically a jester of a ruler of Etheria at this point. I mean, he's not as...
He's Horde Prime's little bitch.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Which kind of... I don't know, takes away a lot of his pizzazz.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I love the idea that we're going with a crossover. Like last episode, we had the Orko Man at Arms crossover. Now we got a Skeletor crossover. So I like that they're kind of switching it up a little bit. I'm game for that. So I'm all about this one. Two episodes that I'm already sold on. So they just, as long as they don't trip over themselves, I will rate these episodes well.
Are you sure there are fish in the bottomless abyss?
Who knows, Cringer? There might be, if you go deep enough. And I figured this was the only way to find out.
Well, I hope you're right, Adam. I love fish.
I know you do, Cringer. That's why... Oh, I think I got one.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Why'd you drop it?
Shh, Cringer. She-Ra's calling me.
Adam, can you hear me?
I hear you, She-Ra. What's wrong? You sound concerned.
Sweet Bee needs help, Adam. From her story, I think that Skeletor and some of his evil crew have captured her people's spacecraft. It's a big job, Adam, and we could sure use He-Man's help. Do you think he can help?
He'll be right there, She-Ra.
By the power of Grayskull!
You're gonna do me?
Not this time, Cringer. This is a job in space, so I'd better do it without Battle Cat.
Oh. Boy, what a shame!
So, let's see just how well, though. Well, let's get right into our Whispering Woods moments. Again, I will let you go because you know you are the man of few words compared to me.
Oh, please. Are you kidding me? This episode was awesome. Shut the hell up.
What do you got?
All right, first of all, Luki on Eternia. I've said this many times in the last, you know, the whole series. I do not pay attention to Luki for nothing. But every once in a while, it's just kind of cool when I do catch him because I don't intentionally look for him.
He's not a damn Pokemon.
Yes, he is.
You don't catch him.
Yes, he is.
Anyway.
So, Luki on Eternia... This is in the very beginning, after Skeletor does his thing when they travel to Grayskull. So the shot opens, and it pans up from the right to Grayskull. As it's panning up from the right-hand side of your screen, we go by a small little tree, and Luki's just sitting there. And the way he's sitting there is he is looking towards where the camera's going. So he's looking at Grayskull from where he's sitting up against the tree. So I notice Luki. And then...
I'm going to pin a gold star on you.
Shut the hell up.
Okay.
I want to put a push pin in your forehead if you don't shut up. That's What I thought was really interesting about this episode is that we've seen She-Ra's telepathy before, but apparently now it shows through the sword. That's interesting, because she calls to Adam, He-Man, whatever, and the way she sees him is through the jewel in her sword. So that's, again, interesting.
Yes.
And of course, the best... You ain't never had a line like this, folks, since Secret of the Sword. Aren't you gonna do me? No need for Battle Cat in space. What a shame. So we finally get Cringer in She-Ra proper. And he doesn't even get to turn into Battle Cat. And he is so happy about that.
For sure.
Skeletor versus He-Man and She-Ra is just great. This was so awesome, so refreshing. We don't have the bumbling, moronic stupidness of Hordak and all the crap that he tries to do. We've got Skeletor, the real villain of the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, it's weird because my opinions of Hordak have so shifted from before watching this to the beginning of watching this to the end of watching this. I've gone through a lot of different phases with Hordak, but my first Whispering Woods note is Skeletor with an exclamation point. Mm-hmm. Love seeing Skeletor here. I like the thematic resonance that this episode has. Need to fight to keep your freedom at times. It's an interesting concept to introduce to kids in this type of cartoon, that we have these bee people who aren't willing to fight, but that She-Ra's really saying, look, there's times where you got to stand up for yourself. There's times where you're going to have to fight for something if you want it, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. So I liked that thematic element. Skeletor wanting to conquer Horde Prime. He's not afraid of that little guy. Mm-hmm. Not like Hordak. He's not his bitch. He'll go right after him. It makes sense. Since Sweet Bee is out searching for a planet, it makes sense that this would happen. So maybe it could have been back-to-back episodes. Maybe it could have been a two-parter. I don't know. But it makes sense that we'd know Sweet Bee's out there. She's been journeying, and now Skeletor is going to try to take advantage of it. We get Trapjaw for the first time in the series. Beastman we've seen, I think, one other time. But we get Trapjaw and Beastman. Trapjaw, we reminded how quickly he is to just discard his arms like they're nothing. So he just throws it on the ground. I wish I would have captured a screenshot of this so we could put it in the episode post, but Skeletor does a almost perfect Green Goblin impersonation where he is riding a hoverboard and looks exactly like Green Goblin. So that was an interesting moment for sure. Natasa, yet again. So not only were we going to see her again, we're going to see her multiple times. So again, and this time she uses the net, so I understand her name now.
Yeah.
Why are you sighing?
No, okay. Spinnerella.
Spinnerella spun right out of this. Cringer, get spared. Have we ever seen Cringer actually...
No.
Get out of being turned into Battle Cat?
No.
I love that they actually showed that. They didn't just do the typical, I'm going to ignore that he's even in existence. They actually went to him and said, no, we don't need you.
Yeah, no, we've never seen him actively get out of it.
92 episodes of She-Ra, and how many episodes of He-Man? We finally got it.
130. So 130 and 92. 220. 200, yeah, there you go. Oh my God, 220 cartoons. Holy crap. What a long 5 years this has been. Okay, so the thing with Cringer, all right? So we've never actually seen him escape it fully. The only thing I can remember is him attempting to do so at one point in the palace. Right. And basically, He-Man let the sword shoot the power, while the power basically bounced off the wall and then chased Cringer down the other hallway. Right. And we don't see that part. It's off camera. But yeah, no, it's either he's not here at all and not even mentioned. Like when He-Man comes to Etheria, it's like, I don't need Cringer. She's got a flying horse. She's got a unicorn. Why do I need Cringer for? You know, so... But I did absolutely love that. And like I said, hearing Alan Oppenheimer as Cringer again was just so fun.
And we get the classic Skeletor comedy with calling people bug brain and stuff like that. I did like that. I just love how this went hand in hand with the other Hives episodes, or the other episode about the Hives. So to me, A+ on that range. I did have a couple Fright Zone moments. I don't know about you, but I have about 5 or 6.
I've got one, and we can get it out of the way right now in the Fright Zone here. And yeah. This will kickstart your rant. I know we complain about the sword to... Well, yes, but I know we complain about the sword to whatever the hell all the time. We've been complaining ever since right after Secret of the Sword. But there is no sword to helmet for She-Ra. He-Man has no space helmet. The science of this whole space thing just doesn't work here. It just seems so wrong. How the hell can He-Man be floating through space and actually going somewhere with no helmet? He wouldn't be able to breathe. Space is a vacuum. Come on, people.
It's so frustrating because this episode was literally one part away from being perfect. Like, it was five minutes away from being a perfect episode. Why do we include this? First of all, the fucking comet cat, or whatever you call that, and then the lizard beings that he's chasing or being chased by, whatever the fuck. All of it was so unnecessary. I get they're trying to say that there's going to be something that's going to divert He-Man, so then he has to come in after the fact, blah, 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 blah. There was different ways to do that, though. We didn't need the comet cat and his two foes. We didn't need that because He-Man literally is just like, okay, you can just drop me off in space and I'll float here and not go anywhere. Like, I'll just float here and wait for this thing to go by or whatever. Like, that's not how space works. Like, I don't even care about the mask necessarily. Like, I'll let that slide, but you don't just get to float. And then at one point he gets pushed and he's like spiraling out of control and then he's floating again. It was so stupid. Like, don't have that part. Do not have that part. Comet Cat, He-Man in space. We're going to get enough He-Man in space. I don't need to see He-Man in space right now. Don't get any bad thoughts about what's to come. So it's just awful. The whole part was awful. The whole cat portion is not even fucking necessary to this episode. Damn it. This could have been a perfect episode. Sundancer's voice was retarded. And Skeletor, you can't hit the broadside of a ship.
Yeah.
Not a barn, a ship. You're shooting like 300 times and it's a fucking ship. It's not like you were trying to hit a little target. You weren't even close. That was the worst shooting I've ever seen in a cartoon ever. And we've seen a lot of bad shooting from stormtroopers and horde troopers and all that kind of stuff throughout time. And you're the worst. So I should give you a horde bat for not being able to shoot anything. But man, just a couple little things here. This could have been a perfect episode. All right. Fuck. The PSA was some things are worth fighting for. As long as you have somebody on your side that can hit things, and as long as you don't have to be in space floating. It was like, I can't even talk about it.
Getting into awards, I did give Power Sword or Protection Sword or whatever the hell to Skeletor, He-Man, and She-Ra.
And Cringer.
Oh, yeah, I did give one to Cringer, too. I didn't have them written down here, but yeah.
I agree with you. I give Protection Sword to Skeletor and Cringer as well. I like that Cringer finally got out of his transformation, and Skeletor is just so much of a nice fresh breath of fresh air, regardless of his shooting incapabilities. What about Horde Bats for you?
Nah, nobody.
Nobody? Gonna go back on what you gave originally?
I don't have anything written down up here.
Originally, you gave one for Bob Forward to the floating in space aspect and the
physics. I didn't write that. Well, that's why I don't have it written down here. I did it on the fly in the original recording. Yeah, that's fine. Bob can get a horde bat.
And then I give one to Comet Cat for being a character that exists.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessary and it's stupid and I didn't like it. Crystal Castle rating for you, what'd you give the last one?
Four and a half, I think.
So is this better, worse, or the same?
About the same, 4.5.
4.5. I'll go up and join you. I was at 4 at the last one. I'll give you a 4.5. It's a half point away from a space. It's a space battle away from being a 5. damn it, it was so close. 4.5 for me. Good episode. Damn it.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this. Damn it.
Stick around. The new adventures of He-Man will be right back.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekcastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Welcome back to the new adventures of He-Man.
All right, we're back here on Myths of Etheria, episode 79.
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay. And we're almost done, folks. We got
two episodes left.
Well, two episodes proper, yes, and then we got the Christmas special.
Two episodes left, and we are on such a better place than we were just two episodes ago.
Yeah.
Two solid episodes today. 2 4- to 5-point episodes today. Let's just do crossovers from here on out, folks.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
because the only other crossover we have left is the Christmas special.
Damn it. I curse a few more times in this episode. I'm going out. You're going to have to take me out of this place kicking and screaming. You're going to have to drag me out. I'm going to be calling for crossovers. Damn it.
Thank you for listening to Mysotheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on this and all of our episode posts. Email feedback at geekcastradio.com. Put in the subject line, Mysotheria, and whatever episode number. So for this, obviously, would be episode...
79.
Thank you. Leave your show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Please help us, folks. We're about to go into space, and that's not going to be cool.
We need our iTunes. We need the iTunes to survive. Yes. It's like our breathing mask that the writers won't give us.
I know, right? Follow us on Twitter. At Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Pal of Grayskull for the show Twitter. Mine is TF2 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
My Twitter. The way you can reach me on the Twitter, at Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the Mist today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure when we'll be taking a look at the final two episodes of the series, The Bibbit Story and Swifty's Baby. Oh, hell no. Okay, first of all, really quick before we get the hell out of here, folks, The Bibbit Story.
We're not there yet.
No. I'm not talking about the... I know. I'm just the title, okay?
Yep.
Take the off. It's basically Bibbit Story. It's when I titled the audio files for grabbing audio that I put in the podcast, where I basically titled that BS and then plot clip, and then for Swifty's Baby, SB, plot clip. So basically, to me, the audio files read as the bullshit of Swifty's Baby.
All right. Play that.
For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
the non crass Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you
nobody
all.
Nobody believed that. Yeah. Nobody believed that.
Dude, you are so beyond not being crass. It makes you even more crass than what you were last time.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
But by the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.
She-Ra.
Find out, see you next time.